Second Timothy, and of course the very familiar chapter 1, verse 7. And it goes against my grain and my nature to just read one verse, though that's what we're going to do this evening, as much as I don't like to do that. Occasionally I do it. It's dangerous to read one verse because you're tempted to pull a verse out of context and then maybe build something that's not there. You've heard a preacher talk about that recently even. But I don't fear that that'll be the case tonight, just because of what the verse says. So verse 7, very familiar. For God hath not given us the spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I often, let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, thank you again for the time to open your word. Thank you that it's all powerful. Thank you that it can change our lives. And Lord, something that we all struggle with is this issue of fear. And I pray that you'll help us to overcome that according to the power of your word. Help us to claim promises. And help us to set aside and push aside fear. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I often ponder this question, what would it be like to live a life without fear? It was a big kind of a fad years ago. I don't know if they still do it or not, but I remember seeing on the back of bumpers or on the back of a pickup truck's back glass, there'd be a sticker, no fear. And I'm not sure what the world meant by that, but I like the concept of no fear, according to God's word, that is. I don't know what the world means by that, unless it means no fear, I'm out of control and I go crazy. Is that what it means, Bro Joe? Okay. So Joe gives me the thumbs up on that, so I guess that's what that means. So I'm not agreeing with them, what the world's definition is, but I do like what God tells us here, that he looks at us as his children and says, children, children, my children, I have not given you a spirit of fear. In other words, so why do you struggle with fear? It's not from me, the Lord assures us through his word. Why do you struggle with fear when that's not something that I've given you? It's something that you've derived from yourself or from the evil one, Satan. But it's nothing that I want you to have. It's nothing that I want you to experience. It's nothing that I want you to have to deal with. And yet, my children, why do you struggle with fear? Well, if you're honest with yourself, and I admit I struggle with fear at times. You probably remember my story a few weeks ago, maybe months now. Time goes by so quickly. I told you how a pastor was asking me about something I was trying to do. And he says, okay, so A, you got this, and B, all this is lined up, and C, everything's in order here. So then, and I said, yes. So then the final question was, what's stopping you? And I had to step back and I said, oh, I don't know if I was ready for that question or not. Yeah, what is stopping me? And that began a whole segment of my next couple of weeks just thinking about that, praying about that, and say, yeah, what is stopping me? Well, the bottom line is this, it was fear. Fear stops us. Fear is Satan's stun gun. Fear will paralyze us. It stops us in our tracks. It stops some folks who have the greatest dreams of doing whatever. Yet they never get to see the dreams fulfilled because of fear. Fear just stops them in their tracks because they start thinking about what if and, you know, all the unknowns that are out there. And so it all becomes just a matter of fear. And a lot of it's right up here, isn't it? It's all a lot of head games and mental things that go on and it brings in fear and it just paralyzes us. And yet God doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to understand that we have a life of freedom, freedom from sin, freedom from hell. He wants us to understand that he has given us the spirit of power, our verse says here. He says, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but, in other words, but what I have given you is the spirit of power. I've given you the spirit of love, and I've given you the spirit of a sound mind. And so God tells us, look, don't live in fear. And I don't want you to have that. It's fear that stops us from going soul winning. It's fear that stops us from speaking up when it seems like a perfect opportunity to give someone the gospel or at least hand them a tract. And then suddenly, boom, just that quick, fear strikes and it paralyzes us and we don't give the tract and we don't give the gospel. It's fear that keeps us from knocking on a door. It's fear that keeps us from so many things in life that would be really rewarding if we were able to follow through with it. But fear stops us. And not only does God tells us that I've not given you the spirit of fear, but get this. What's one of the results of that fear? We miss blessings. We miss out on potential blessings. Amen, Brother Kevin? Because if I did knock on a door, what potentially could happen when someone came and we had a chance to talk? If fear stops me from passing out a tract or speaking to someone or striking up a conversation, and what could potentially pursue from that, if fear stops me, then I miss that potential blessing. So I think we hurt ourselves by allowing fear to stun us. We allow fear to paralyze us. We allow fear to stop us in our tracks. And not just giving up the gospel, but just even anything and everything in our daily lives. Fear of, like telemarketing, let's say. Some people have deadly fear of picking up the phone and calling a stranger and talking to them about something. It's called, what's the word they call it? Phone. Oh, I can't think of it now. There's a name they have it, but it's fear of the phone, basically, and they just can't seem to be able to do that. Now, some people are whizzes at it. They pick up the phone. In fact, I get too many telemarketing calls. I don't know if you got this or not. Let me read this. Oh, I didn't bring my phone. I get calls every day on my cell phone, about 20 a day. It says Pedro. It says, like, Suzanne Jones, and it's all capital letters. And sometimes it'll just say Cleveland, Ohio, and sometimes it'll say Toledo, Ohio. And I'm like, really? You guys think I'm not going to answer these calls? I was thinking to myself, if you'll just call me for who you really are, I might answer your call. But they're playing games trying to trick me into answering it because using these bogus names like it's really somebody. And these are all fake names. I know they are. And anybody, you get those phone calls? Do you really? Okay, I thought it was just me maybe. Okay. Yeah, it's crazy. Let's look at Joshua 1:9 here together real quick. So fear. Fear paralyzes us. And if you can just ask yourself the question with me as we move along here, what would it be like to live a life without fear? So let's look at Joshua 1:9, another familiar passage. Of course, Joshua, after the death of Moses, picked up the mantle, you might say, from Moses and continued the ministry, so to speak. And in the very familiar verse 8, he talks about meditating in the law and memorize it and so forth. But then verse 9, he says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage." What's the next three words? Be not afraid. That's the same as fear, isn't it? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, if I remember that promise and claim that promise, then I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to fear because I need to realize that my God is with me, right beside me, wherever I go. Amen. And I don't have to be afraid because I've got him with me. I don't have to fear because he's with me. It's like those little puny guys that have the big tall bodyguards, and they're just little tiny, midget guys, and they feel like they can mouth off to anybody, because the moment the other person starts to take a step toward them or to throw a punch at them or to challenge them or to speak back, out from the shadows steps the bodyguard, and they're like, ooh, and they're like, oh, never mind, I didn't mean that. So that's how we should be. We've got our big mighty God with us all the time. And that should give us the courage and the good courage here. Be not afraid, neither dismayed. We can have the power that God wants us to have. So fear is Satan's stun gun. God doesn't want us to live in fear. And of course, we see our verse here about being not afraid. Matthew 10:28 says this, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." And again, the words, we hear the words, "fear not." Luke chapter 1, 11 and 12, an angel speaking says, "When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not." It'd be a great Bible study for you to go through the Bible and just look up the words, "fear not," or "be not afraid." Those two combinations, and I think you'll be surprised what you learn. It'd be a great study for you. Luke chapter 1, verse 74 speaks of serving God without fear. Psalm chapter 49 says this, "Wherefore should I fear?" Or in other words, why should I fear? "In the days of evil." And we live in evil days. But I have my big, strong, mighty God right with me all the time. And so I need not fear. And yet we do. Sometimes I wish we could see God physically. We can't. That's where life of faith comes in. For we walk by faith, not by sight. It's easy to not fear if I could look to my side and see someone big and strong and powerful. It'd probably be easy not to fear because I've got my bodyguard here. But the old saying, out of sight, out of mind. It's a spiritual discipline for us to practice what we would call God consciousness. In other words, you wake up in the morning immediately aware and conscious that God is here and with me now. And then continuing that consciousness throughout the day. Now, I'll be the first to admit it's a difficult discipline. We all would say, "Oh yeah, God's with us all the time." In general, we know that. But to practice His presence on a daily basis, moment by moment, is a little more difficult. To fully understand, God is with me right now. If Christians would come to that place where they could understand that God is with them right now, I think there'd be a lot less sin in the lives of Christians. Because they certainly wouldn't want to go where they know they should not go if they were 100% aware that God is with them right now, here and now. And that I shouldn't take God and or the Holy Spirit who lives in me into this place. Do you follow me? I think we would be a lot more careful about what comes out of our mouth if we had this consciousness that God Almighty is with us here and now all the time. And when I get ready to bite my tongue, catch my words and stop them because, sorry, word, I shouldn't say that. He's right here. You follow? Now that's a discipline that I can't make you do. I'm still trying to get it just right. But we all should work on that. To wake up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Lord. Good morning, God." I don't mean your prayer time. I mean when you first open your eyeballs. And you say good morning to your spouse. And you should say, "Good morning, Lord. Good morning, my Father. Good morning, God." And acknowledge His presence because He is present. And then from that moment throughout the day, and again, it's so hard. We're busy doing this. We're busy doing that. We're trying to answer phones. We're doing a job. We're working for someone else. We have to put our time in. We got to punch the clock. And while all that's going on, we're thinking about other things we got to do when we get home. And life's just busy. I understand that. It's busy for everyone. But I don't know that that's a good excuse to not understand and realize 100% of the time that God is with me all day long. So if we could do better at that, I think Christians would be less likely to go where they shouldn't go, be less likely to say what they shouldn't say, be less likely to watch what they shouldn't watch, be less likely to listen to what they shouldn't be listening to. Because God is there. I remember Brother Hiles telling a story about, I think he witnessed this. He saw somebody in a store getting ready to pickpocket, or ready to steal something. Shoplift is the word I meant to say, not pickpocket. And he said it was like the person kind of looked this way, and kind of looked that way, looked all around, and he was getting ready to reach for it. And Brother Howell said, the only problem with doing this and that, he said he forgot to do this. Because God's watching. In other words, God's all everywhere all the time. And we as Christians, if we could get a hold of that and utilize it in our lives, it'd be a great help to us. And that was kind of off the subject, but the point was, if we could understand that God is with us all the time, how much we could be more courageous and not so fearful, understanding we have the great God of the universe with us. 1 John 4:18 says, fear hath torment. That is so true. When you allow fear to freeze you and stop you in your tracks, and then it just seems to torment you because there's this pulling. I know I should do this, but fear is stopping me. I know I should talk to this person, but fear is stopping me. And so just that push-pull alone, that's a tormenting. And of course, it happens in your mind. It just torments you. Clearly, God doesn't want us to live in fear or with fear. So let's identify some sources of fear. And let's go to Matthew 14 to do so. Matthew 14, let's go there, please. We'll look at just three or four things and we'll be done. What are some sources of fear? Matthew 14. Here's another fear. Let's say you and some other member of the church, or you and maybe some member of your family, or you and somebody at work, or you and somebody in the neighborhood, whatever, are at odds with each other. And you know full well that you need to go speak to that person. And yet, there's something holding you back. There's something paralyzing you. Something stopping you. What is it? Fear. Fear of what will they say? Fear of what will they think? Fear of how will they react? You know, did you give me that? Fear of what if it turns out wrong? Fear, just fear. Fear, fear, fear. It stops us. It freezes us. It keeps us from doing what we know we ought to do. And so we need to overcome the fear, whatever the fear that you deal with. I don't know. I only covered a couple angles tonight, but we all struggle with fear. And we need to overcome that. Matthew 14, verse 22 says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for what? Fear. So fear. Ah, fear. In this instance, they thought they were seeing a ghost. And of course, the winds and the waves weren't helping things, I'm sure. But here we see a source of fear. I just call it the winds and the waves. The winds and the waves. Of course, these are all going to be W's. You probably figured that out, right, already. Winds and the waves. But probably the biggest source of fear, just we use this passage here. I call it winds and waves. What is that? It's circumstances. Circumstances. We are afraid of different types of circumstances and what outcomes will be. These disciples found themselves in this, the winds were contrary. The ship is being tossed to and fro. Waves are probably coming up over the sides. They're worried. They look out. They see what they think is a spirit or a ghost. And they're consumed with fear at that moment in time. It's all circumstantial. Goes back to this thing about practicing the Lord's presence. When you and I are batted about in our world, tossed to and fro by life circumstances, we do get fearful. It's human nature. I'm not blaming you, I do it too. We get fearful from the circumstances that come our way, especially negative circumstances. And our world is tipsy-turvy and tossed around.
And if those disciples would have realized, and they do admit it because the story changes, but they thought they saw a spirit. If they would have realized it was the Lord, the creator of the universe, the one who makes the winds and the waves, they wouldn't have been so fearful. They would have said, oh, we don't have to fear these winds and these waves and this storm. There's the master of the sea. He's right there. Amen. He'll calm it down. That's how we need to be. Circumstances, winds and waves come into our lives. And, oh, we begin to get fearful. We begin to worry and wonder and get all worked up over it when we just realize right next to us is our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
It's almost ironic, isn't it, that we act the way we do when He's right there. Shame on me for misbehaving. I don't mean sinfulness. I mean, here's the very creator of the universe. He's with you. He promised us, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's with us. And yet, He sees us. He's right there. It's like when we had our children are little.
This proves how it's just part of humanity. This proves it. But we see our children scared to death about some things, yet we're right there. We have to assure them, hey, Daddy's right here, don't worry. Mommy's right here. And even though we say that, and even though they see us, and even though they're touching us, oh, they're scared to death. Well, I guess that's how life is. I guess that's how we are. But the Father in heaven says, hey, I'm right here. You don't have to be afraid. I'm right here. I've got this. Here, hold my hand. I've got this. Don't be afraid. And so the number one source of fear is winds and waves. It's when our world is tipsy-turvy. It's when the waves are coming over. It's when we think we're seeing ghosts. It's when we think all these circumstances are just, just remember, the master of the sea is right there. The one who controls the winds and the waves, he's right there. And that'll help us. Amen. Don't you agree? Number two, so winds and waves are a source of fear. How about another one? I'll call it wanderings. Not W-A, but W-O. Wanderings. Wanderings. In other words, I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder how it's going to work out. I wonder where we're going to go, where we're going to live. I wonder. And that creates fear. Now, I too wonder. I say, I wonder how this is going to work out. I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder. But guess what? The one who lives in the future, he already knows how it's going to turn out. I just need to trust him. He's right here, and he's been there already. He's been there and back. He knows how it's going to turn out. And I just need to trust the one who knows. I don't have to know how it'll turn out. I don't have to know how it's all going to happen. I don't have to know where it's going to go or what's going to happen, because he knows, and that's all I need to know. Paul in Acts 27:7 wondered about his future until he was assured by the angel of the Lord that he would go to Rome. Remember that passage in Acts 27? In fact, we read that a couple of Wednesdays ago when we studied Acts 27, but he basically told Paul, fear not. Thou assuredly must go to Rome. So though Paul may have had a little bit of fear, he may have himself had some wonderings. I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder how this is all going to turn out. The angel said, fear not. You will make it to Rome. Because they were on that ship that was crashing. We called that lesson, some on board, some on broken pieces. How many remember that? Yeah. So that's that story. So Paul may have been wondering, whoa, this doesn't look good. And the angel said, fear not, you'll make it. You'll make it. Let's go to Luke chapter 12 together. Luke chapter 12. And again, it's human nature to say, I wonder how it's going to turn out. I wonder where we're going to go. I wonder how it's going to happen. I wonder how it's going to work out. I guess it's human nature, but I think that when we start to wonder, wonder too much, we stir up fear, the spirit of fear. Luke 12, verse 6. Jesus said, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are numbered." Next 2 words, please. "Fear not." "Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." And so here he's telling them, look, don't fear. Don't fear about, back in verse 4, he says, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more than they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom ye shall fear, fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And then he goes on to say, not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and talks about the numbering of our hairs. So it's easy to number my hair. but God says, look, don't fear. You're with me, John. Amen. Don't fear. Don't wonder. And then down in verse 22, he picks it up again. Same chapter, verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, or for your body what you shall put on. What does that mean? That means I'm wondering. I wonder what we'll eat today. I wonder what we'll eat tomorrow. I wonder what we'll eat next week. Not because you're trying to think what the menu is. You're trying to wonder, how are we going to eat? There's no money. I wonder how. I wonder what we'll eat. I wonder what we'll wear. I wonder, and on it goes. I wonder. It's anxious. It's anxiety. It's being anxious. And all this creates fear. And yet God tells us, don't do that. I'm right here. I'm right with you right now. Amen? And so that's a great passage. So winds and waves. Number 2, wonderings. Number 3, words. These are sources of fear. Winds and waves, or that's circumstances. Secondly, wonderings. We begin to wonder too much. I wonder how, wonder where, wonder who. And we create fear that way. But thirdly, a third source of fear is words themselves. So 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. First Samuel 17, beginning in verse 1. Very famous chapter. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoko, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoko and Azekah, in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all of Israel heard those what? Words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly what? Feared. Afraid. You see where the fear came from in this instance? So we saw winds and waves, that's circumstances of life when our world is all being tossed about. We must remember the Lord is here. He's the master of the sea. He's the maker of those winds and waves. He can calm them with the spoken word. We saw the wondering. I wonder. I wonder. I wonder. We begin to get anxious. I wonder. God says, hey, take no thought. Time out. Don't think about that. Because all you're doing is creating stress in your life. All you're doing is bringing anxiety to yourself. I don't want you to have a spirit of fear. I've not given you that. That's not for me. Why are you doing it to yourself? I'm not giving you that. That's you and or Satan developing that. And I don't want you to do that. We begin to wonder. God says, look, I know the future. I'm in the past and the present and the future all at the same time. And I know how this turns out. And I know I have good thoughts for you. Good thoughts. God wants what's best for us. We must understand that. But thirdly, words. Here, the fear that came upon the nation of Israel, and again, it takes us all the way back to our introduction, fear is Satan's what? Sun god. It's his paralyzer. Well, we see the Israeli army hiding behind the rocks and the trees. Oh, man, look at the size of that guy. He must be 9 feet tall. Yeah, he was. 9 feet plus. And they were paralyzed to where the giant just come out in the open. We'd think they could take him out when he's out in the open. That's their opportunity to nail him. But they were so fearful, so paralyzed, so stunned. And his words, he defied Israel. He challenged them. He was talking trash to them, wasn't he? He was trash talking Israel. And they were just fearful. Why were they fearful? It was only words. But it was words. It was words from without. But not only that, it's words from within. It's bad enough when the enemy hurls the accusations, when the enemy says, you guys are puny. It's one thing when the words from the outside say, hey, I can defeat you. Who do you think you are? What God are you serving? You know, just hurling the words, right? And it brings fear. That's one thing. It's another thing when the words come to us and it creates this spirit of fear. But where are the words coming from now? They're coming from right here. Words from within. Now, this might hit a little more home than the other one. Because many of us say, oh, no, I couldn't do anything for the Lord. Oh. I could never pass out a tract. Oh, I couldn't say anything to anybody. Oh, I couldn't work on a bus route. Oh, I could never teach a Sunday school class. I'm too shy. I don't know enough Bible. And whatever it is, we begin talking ourselves and the fear comes. It's words from within. And that's just as dangerous and bad as words from without, I think. How many of God's servants talk themselves out of doing something good for the Lord? Because they're convinced they can't do it, or they shouldn't do it, or they're not qualified to do it, or whatever. Amen? We talk ourselves right out of it. I was thinking this past week, preacher told me, I asked so-and-so to help out in the nursery, and they just agreed that just, it wasn't even an issue. Just, yeah, okay, sure. I thought to myself, I wonder how many of God's people are sitting out there that all they need is just ask. And they'd be... But until they're asked, fear has them paralyzed. I don't know if that would be true in that individual circumstance. Maybe they weren't afraid, but maybe they just never thought of it. Or never thought they could or should or whatever. But I wonder how many servants of God think we just ask, hey, could you do this? That they could say yes. The fact that you asked me helps me overcome my fear, and now I feel I can do it. If you have confidence in me to do that, then maybe I can do it. And the fear goes away. You get me? So anyway, fear. Fear from without, when the enemy hurls words at us, and words from within, when we talk trash to ourselves, and we convince ourselves or talk ourselves out of doing things that we know we could do, yet we paralyze ourselves with the fear. Well, if God doesn't want us to live in fear, how do we overcome this fear? How do we overcome? Well, I think first we need to understand that fear is not from God, but from Satan. Amen. God clearly tells us in the verse we read to start off, 2 Timothy 1:7. He said, I've not given you the spirit of fear. I've given you the spirit of love and of a sound mind, power, but not fear. So fear is not from God, it's from the enemy. So we have to understand that. And when fear comes, we need to understand that who's with us? God Almighty, our Father. So first, understand that it's not from God. Secondly, we need to understand that the opposite of fear is faith. The opposite of fear is faith. Again, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And I must have faith that my Heavenly Father is with me 24/7, and that helps me to have courage, helps me to overcome the fear that can come in my life. Let's turn to just a few quick passages here before we close. Mark 4. Mark chapter 4. I've got 1, 2, 3, just 5 passages, so we'll turn quickly and see these real quick, and we'll move on, and we'll finish up here in a minute. Mark 4, verse 40. Look what the Lord says. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Notice the Lord made a contrast there. He said, why are you so fearful? That's the one extreme. Why is it you don't have any faith? That's the other side. So I just said, we understand the opposite of fear is faith, and we see that in this passage. When he said to the disciples, look, why are you so fearful? The opposite is faith. And verse 41, look what interesting what it says. They feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Remember I said he's the master of the sea? There you go. He's the master of the sea. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We're trying to see, we're understanding that the opposite of fear is faith. Luke 8, verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, here it is, fear not, believe only. In other words, that's the faith, isn't it? Have faith, and she shall be made whole. So we see the two opposites there. Don't be afraid. Have faith or believe. Don't be afraid. Have belief. And then Matthew 14. Matthew 14. I think we were there already. Verse 31. Yeah, this is a different part of the story, though, but verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Amen. So we see the opposites again. Look at verse 30. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. This is that story of Peter walking on the water. As soon as he took his eyes off the Lord, and hey, that's a good illustration for us again. Right here is the Lord all day long with us. As soon as we take our eyes off the Lord, whoa, things start getting scary. Winds and waves start happening. Wanderings. Words. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord all day long. Boy, that would help us so much to have this God consciousness I'm talking about. And then chapter 8 of Matthew. Thanks for staying with me. We'll just have a couple more after this. Matthew 8, verse 26. These are worth seeing. Verse 26, and he saith unto them, why are ye fearful? O ye of little what? Faith. There's the opposites again. You're fearful because you have no faith. You're full of fear because you don't have faith. That's what we're seeing. And then Luke 12. And then one more after this. Thanks for staying with me. Luke 12. Verse 28. If then God so clothed the grass, which which is today in the field and tomorrow cast into the oven, how much more will ye clothe you, O ye of little faith? And we don't see the word fearful there, but the context is, if we read earlier, and we were reading some of that earlier, that they were wondering, what shall we wear? What shall we eat? What are we going to do about all these things? And he says, hey, don't you know that, verse 24, consider the ravens, they don't sow or reap, and yet they don't have a storehouse or a barn, and yet God feeds them. Do you ever think about this? How about the lilies of the field? He says, they don't spin, they don't weave, and yet God clothes them. And he goes on and teaches about this principle and says, oh, ye of little faith. And then Acts 27, let's go there. I think we referenced this earlier, but let's see it with our own peepers now. Acts 27. And verse 22. Let's read 21 as well. After a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. And then he goes on to say, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Amen? Boy, if we could all say that, if I believe God, I don't have to fear. I believe God. I believe what He tells me. I believe in His Word. I believe the promises that He's given me. And we of little faith. Because we don't believe God, we allow fear into our lives, and fear controls us and paralyzes us and causes us stress and causes nervous breakdowns. Some people kill themselves because of fear. How many teenagers have committed suicide all because they were bullied at school or whatever? And all that goes with fear, goes with all of that. It's fear. And fear does crazy things. And so no wonder God says, I have not given you the spirit of fear. So we see a common denominator amongst all these folks we just looked at. We looked at Peter walking on the water. We looked at Paul. We heard from David and the other apostles. There was one common denominator amongst all their stories, and that was G-O-D, God. God gave them what they needed. God brought them peace. God stilled the waves and the winds. God assured them. God comforted them. God removed the fear. If we take God out of the equation, then we'll naturally be prone to fear. And that's part of our problem. Too many times we do take God out of the equation. We get up in the morning, some of us pretty good, to read our Bibles. One, two chapters, and hey, maybe three or four. Whoa, maybe it's big time five. But when we're done, we're done. It's almost like, okay, God, you stay there. I'll see you in the morning. No, He goes with us everywhere we go. And we must be conscious of that. We must be conscious of that. Fear is a natural response, but faith is a supernatural response. Our pastor in First Baptist, before we left, Brother John Wilkerson, there's one thing that he taught once that was helpful. I actually used it after he taught it, and I did feel it to strengthen me and be a help to me. He said to say out loud, make these statements out loud. Lord, I trust you. To verbalize it out loud. Lord, I trust you. And just saying that on a daily basis, maybe many times a day, you can actually feel the courage that comes just because you're saying, Lord, I trust you. I trust you that you know what's best for me. I trust you that you're with me all day long. I trust you because you've given me wonderful promises in your word. Lord, I want you to know, I trust you. He said also, say, Lord, I believe you. Lord, I believe you. Lord, I believe you. Just say it out loud. And you'll feel your faith boosted just from that little exercise. Have faith. Acknowledge that God is with you. Practice His presence. It's so important. Brother Howes said early in his Christian life, he used to practice this, and it may seem odd, but he would literally, when he would go out to the car, he would go around the passenger side and open the door as if to let the Lord into the car. And then close the door and walk back around and get in the driver's side. Now today, back then they didn't have seatbelts, but today we might get in and say, okay, Lord, put your seatbelt on. And just talk to the Lord as you're driving along. You may see us up ahead, it says the road's closed or detour, and hey Lord, which way do you think we should go? You say, that sounds crazy. People saw you talking to the empty seat, they think you're crazy. Well, maybe, but it would help me practice God consciousness, wouldn't it? Just to be aware of His presence. And I know that sounds crazy and ridiculous. Maybe we wouldn't do that, but we could do some version of it. And it might start with waking up in the morning saying, good morning, Lord. Thanks that You're with me right now. And thanks that You'll be with me this whole day long. And thanks when I come back to this bed at night, You'll be right here. Thank You. Oh, by the way, I trust You. I believe You. Help me today. Remove the fear. When the winds and waves come, help me to know the Master of the Sea is right here. When the wonderings start, oh, I wonder how we're going to pay that bill. Oh, I wonder how we're going to make it. Oh, I wonder where we're going to... Oh, I don't have to wonder. The One who holds the future is right here. Amen. How about the words? Words from without. Hurtful words from other people can create fear. But even worse, the words we create ourselves in our own thinking, our own minds. Oh, I'm not worthy. Oh, I can't do anything. Oh, I shouldn't be here. Oh, I can't do it. I'm not qualified. Words that create fear. Wait a minute. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see the difference? He is the difference maker. Brother Dick? He is the difference. He's the game changer. He makes all the difference in the world. Without Him, yeah, we'll be fearful. Sure we will. But we have an anchor. Steadfast and sure. So practice His presence this week. I want us all to conquer fear. It comes to us in many ways. It shows up in different costumes. It comes from different sources. We've looked at three or four tonight. But when fear comes, just remember, hey, God says, hey, I didn't give that to you. Why are you acting like that? I've given you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the opposite of that fear is faith. So you just need to exercise your faith. And you can do that simply by being aware and cognizant of who is with you right now. Amen.